This has been real difficult this time to choose a topic of what I thought I could share on. This is my 41st conference, so, well, I haven't been to every one of them because we were in Poland. We would be here every other year sometimes, but 41 years on the field somewhere, and God is blessed, and we've been thankful to be in Mexico, and we got a chance to be in Poland, and it's been amazing. It's so good to see everybody. Always it is to be back here and to see everyone and to just see some of the old faces and see new ones now. And that is such a blessing to see the church continue on. It's a living, breathing organ that constantly is moving and changing. And we see that in Poland. We see that, and of course we saw that in Mexico. It's constantly changing. But we serve a faithful and unchanging God.
Amen.
And that's what my whole message is I'm trying to point to. I hope I can make it clear between my tears. But anyway, first of all, I wanted to say we bring greetings from the Church of Torun and from the Church of Olsztyn. We just have, Olsztyn is beginning to grow more and more, and we're seeing new people, new changes, new things going on there. We're excited about that. We've also, Torun, we've left it, and it's had its bumps, and it's going to grow. We're praying through the faith that everyone has here and all that's being prayed for them, that they will grow once again and get back on their feet. But lately I have been thinking this verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. On faith. This is because God is a faithful and unchanging God. And because He is, we can be faithful. We are not faithful. I am not faithful, in ways, with God. And I'm thankful that He's a forgiving God, gracious God. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, many times people misunderstand or misinterpret what faith actually means. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many people say, so what's your faith? And they're saying, what's your religion? Faith is not a religion. Faith is in something that we cannot see. It's in something that is we trust God for, that in every step of our way. It's not something that we just say, I see it, I'm going to do that. No, we're trusting God in these ways. And verse 6 is, of course, the key. I think for throughout the whole entire Bible, men who didn't trust God, didn't have faith in what God had told them to do, they messed up and they fell into sin. Some did, some didn't. But verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
And this verse is like, I need to grasp that again. Sometimes I fall away and I think, oh Lord, I get tired of going out for evangelism. And I have been that way lately. It's been like, okay, I'm not going out with Joe anymore. I'm staying home. And I have done that, and I confess that, I would much rather go do something else than work in my garden than go out for evangelism with Joe, or stay at home, something else I need to get done. And I'm thinking, no, that's not as important. It's something I'm seeing. I need to get out and I need to go to evangelism and help Him out whenever I possibly can, and stop making excuses. 1 John 1:9 says He is a faithful and just God to forgive.
Amen.
You fail, you get up. You fail, you get up. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, He is a faithful to establish and keep you from evil. He can keep you. We can change because He can change, because He's unchanging. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not sight. And these are some things that I was looking at faith. Of course, I know everybody, some people probably all know all these verses by memory, by heart, and have, and do it and complete it. But for me, this is lately has been a really big challenge for me. And, I had a Bible study not long ago, and I thought, Lord, is this the one you really want me to share? The Shunammite woman. She just really has made an impression on me lately. 2 Kings chapter 4. I am not going to read all the verses. You are welcome to read that, but I'm going to give my speaking version to fit in my 15 minutes because I don't want to go over my time. But the Shunammite woman, a story that she had to have faith. And if you read it, but I want you to just hear this. So I'm going to start with verse 8 to 10, because this is where her story begins. This is Elisha. He's the prophet of God in this time. Elisha knew of a well-known woman and her husband. This is my version of what I read. Okay, so I'm just reading it. She was known for her hospitality. Yes, if we can read that and you can see that. She perceived that Elisha was a man of God. And she wanted to do something special for him. She suggested to her husband that they build him a room and where a place where he can travel and rest when he comes. And he can go there. And the hubby says, yes, dear. And he sets it up. And he says, honey, I'll do it for you. Whatever. This man, I agree with you. He's a great guy. I'm going to do it. And verse 11 through 13, it says, Elisha came in and was laying there on a bed and appreciating his new resting place. And he asked Gehazi, what do you think I can do for her? And Gehazi's going, Well, he called her to him and says, What can I do for you to thank you, he says. Elisha asked her, what can I do to thank you? Can I talk to the king? Can I talk to the captain of the host for you? Can I help you in anything else? Can they help you more? I have power. I can help you. And she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm right where I'm at. I'm with my people. I'm good. I don't need anything. I'm happy. She was content and she had all she wanted. She didn't want anything from Elisha and wanted to thank him, but he wanted to thank her for all her kindness. Verse 14 to 16, Elisha asked Gehazi, what do you think I can do for her? Gehazi's going, Oh, she did say she didn't have a child and her husband is old. Elisha said, okay then, that's what I'll do. I'll ask God to give her a child. And the next year later, she had a child. God gave her a child. But she also asked him, she said, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me that you're going to give me this child. Please. If I'm not going to have one, don't tell me I'm going to have one. But God blessed her and gave her one anyway. And because the man of God was there and pleading for her. And it was so. And the child grew about 6 to 10 years later. The boy goes out to work with his dad in the field and he says, Dad, my head's hurting. Oh, my dad. And dad, go to your mother. She'll take care of you. I don't have time. Go to your mother. Usually, I'm working. And she takes him, lays him on her lap. She didn't know what to do. There was no doctors. There was no medical history for her to help. She couldn't do a thing. She was lost. She was lost. She had no hope. No hope to be found for her boy. And so, verse 21, she puts the boy on Elisha's bed, thinking, this is my version, my thinking of what I saw in this, thinking and hoping that this would bring him back to health. Maybe because this was Elisha's bed and what we had given to him, because of Elisha's presence in that place, that would have been, but Elisha's place didn't help. He didn't wake up. He didn't get healed. Verse 22 to 23, she asked her husband to get one of the servants to get her a donkey so she could run to the man of God, and she becomes, because only he can help her, and she knew where to go. She wanted to go to the man of God. And she says, I'll return soon. I can only imagine her husband outside in the field, because he does say this here. Why? It's not the new moon. It's not the Sabbath. Why do you need to go? I don't understand. I can only stand under men that are clueless sometimes. Like, why? I don't get it. Okay, whatever. Why do you need the commandment? She says, it shall be well. It shall be well. And she had faith that what he was going to do, even though her child is helpless, possibly dead, laying there, she didn't know. So she gets on that donkey and asks the servants to take her as fast as he can. Don't slow down unless I ask you to, she says. Well, I don't know what to do with this. I'm sorry. But anyway, so, thank you. And if you can see, if you ever look it up, you can see where Mount Carmel is from Shunem. It's 18.5 miles away. And that's still quite a ways to go on a fast donkey. So here she is on a fast donkey, going fast with a servant to get to Gehazi and to Elisha. And Elisha sees her coming and tells Gehazi, go meet her and ask her, is it well with her? Yes, it's well with her. Is it well with the husband? Yes, it's well with the husband. With the boy. She says to Gehazi, yes, it is well. Is it well? But did she have faith that it shall be well? She only wanted to talk to the man of God, not another man, not Gehazi. She didn't even want to tell Gehazi her problem. Verse 27 to 28, but when she gets to Elisha, she falls at his feet, and Gehazi's like, no, I'm going to pull you away. And he says, leave her alone. She's hurting. She's got something that's hurting her, and I need to know what it is that I might be able to help her. The man of God, this is what God used back then as the prophets to speak to the people. She cries out to him, I didn't ask for a child, and I asked you not to deceive me about a child. So now you blessed me with him, and now something isn't right with him. Verse 29, Elisha tells Gehazi, gird up your loins and run ahead. Don't greet anyone. Don't say hi to your brother, sister, uncle that you haven't seen in a year or so. Don't get distracted, but go and lay the rod on the face of the child. But an object doesn't help. So you can't go to an object. You can't use an object. God didn't use an object. So to pray to any image, to ask in any other form except to the man of God, except to God's man or the word of God, would be wrong. But she didn't know. She thought maybe that would heal him, and it would bring her closer to her outcome. Verse 30, she said, I need you to come, and I'm not going back without you. She drew close to God, to God's man, and she says, and you're coming with me. I want my child alive. You gave me this child. You told me it was coming, and I want to have it healed. I mean, I can only imagine she is determined. Whatever. Gehazi did what he was told, but still the boy didn't wake up. So a rod didn't help. Elisha found the child dead that was upon the bed. God used Elisha to bring life back into the body. In the same way, faith in the word of God spiritually brings life back into us. We have to trust God's word. What God has used today for us back then was God's prophet. But today, it is faith in him, not faith in anything else, in his word, that brings life to the lost and to the dead world. Verse 37, she bowed and thanked Elisha and took her son home, into her home. She was very appreciative. Now, the question is, what was she still doing to be appreciative for what God had done for her? For coming to her aid, saving the life of her son and giving her child back. What are we doing today? I don't think I'm going to go to do evangelism today. I don't think I want to read my Bible today. I don't think I want to pray today. How appreciative am I? I'm going to say me for what he's done. The Shunammite woman truly had great faith that all was well. God didn't take the situation away from her. He helped her through it and grew her faith in God. Yeah, I use my vertigo sometimes. I've got vertigo. I've got other issues. And I sometimes say, oh, I just can't do it because of these things. But, you know, and I think, no, just get up and just do it. I think that God wants us to have faith as a grain of mustard seed, like this woman, to not take things into our own hands, but to let God take care of all the situation, even if they seem so bleak. So that's where I feel like I am in my daily walk right now. But in daily, in every situation, we need to go to the Word of God and to meet Him there and to have faith that what He's doing in our lives, we need to trust that. Amen. 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 Amen.